Now that we're on the subject, let's do it up and finish it. I'm intended to bring this up, you know. I have respect to everybody. Why is it, first off, is there any way to get the kind of message that you're trying to project? Is there any way to get public attention for that? Do you think? If there is not, then what hope is there to get away? My God, I suppose you read the papers the other day about the latest development on nonpartisanship on the Michigan Supreme Court, where we have a man who was foreordained by the demand of his predecessor to be of a certain race, who turns out to have been the governor's,
legal advisor.
All right, staff man, who is going to be sworn in Detroit at the Art Institute. For some reason, that escapes me, but it sure has very little to do with service on the Supreme Court of the state of Michigan, I think. But anyway, that's only the latest in a succession of events that we could sit here and enumerate for a long time. But do you have an answer? Do you see anything that is hopeful, at least, toward getting away from the evils of what you just described?
Well, I think the most obvious thing, in which I have said and repeated and continue to believe is true, is that we need a simple, nonpartisan primary election for the Michigan Supreme Court.
But you never got anywhere in the legislature with this.
The legislature never got anywhere. I got kind of grudging interest from some newspapers when I started out with what I call the Committee for Constitutional Reform some years ago, and I had about four or five constitutional issues, including term limitation, which is now getting to be a common
thing.
Did
you get my little?
Yeah, I got your nice note. But, I was way ahead on that one, but the nonpartisan primary makes all kinds of things. You know what happens, Roger? You go out and you say, this is what we want to do. Okay. Number one, there's nothing sexy about constitutional reform. It doesn't put money in anybody's pocket. The average businessman, the average wealthy person, what are they going to donate money for? Is this going to do anything for anybody directly? You know, is it going to get me any ears that I can whisper into in the Capitol? Can I influence legislation? Can I affect my cost of doing business in Michigan? The union guys want to know, does it put any money in our guys' pockets? Will it raise their unemployment or their pension funds or protect their jobs from being washed out because businesses are being closed, whatever? It isn't going to. They want to talk economics, dollars and cents, taxes and so on. And they want to talk about who, in terms of personality, the newspapers do, is out there. Damn it, Roger, I read these speeches and I say those are thoughtful statements of policy, discussions of public policy. I talk from experience about what's good and bad in terms of the way to do things. When I give a speech, and when I prepare a speech like this, typically, you can hear a pin drop in the room. People don't fall asleep while I'm talking, and I can talk sometimes fairly good length of time. They will come up to me afterwards and tell me what a wonderful speech it was and how interesting it was and how persuasive and so on. But two things. They don't interrupt me with applause, and they don't quote me in the newspapers. What I end up discovering that I am is a pretty good teacher, maybe. I'm able to state things, which I read them and I say, that sounds pretty good, you know. Makes sense. It's stated, clearly enough stated. But it's not sexy enough or simplistic enough to get people to respond to. And when I go out and talk about a nonpartisan primary or a committee for constitutional reform and whatever else, newspapers want to know if I'm running for governor.
Yeah.
That's all they know. Yeah, I mean, they don't care about any of the, you know, and if you, who's running against you then? And is he a good guy? What bad are you going to say about him? What bad is he going to say about you?
Let me try to drive a point here.
Okay.
Suppose you took that speech and you went out in the appropriate season, you know, not the football Rose Bowls or something like that. You went and gave it at East Lansing High School in the proper convocation or whatever they call them. Gave the same thing at Sexton High School or whatever, one in Mississippi. And if it were possible for to get some kind of cooperation with the people that run the schools to say, now we're going to have tomorrow, we're going to have somebody of the opposite view, and he's going to give another talk about the same subject matter, and then on Friday, we'll have a vote on this matter. Or we'll have you write all two-page essays on the merits of this proposition. What would be the response? Would you get any more response from that kind of an exercise? And is are we talking about something that's so rotten in the system of public awareness, education, political participation? Lord knows, you say what it is, but what the hell's wrong?
Well, what's wrong is that what's wrong is that Greek democracy doesn't work and didn't work in Greece and won't work here, and the founders of this nation didn't envision a Greek democracy, a totally participatory democracy, because you can't conduct a meeting of 250 million people with parliamentary procedure. You can't, and it's getting to the point where it's questionable that 400 and whatever 80 people in the United States Congress is in the House of Representatives is a body of sufficient appropriate size to conduct business in a parliamentary fashion. You certainly can't do it with 2,000 delegates to the Republican National Convention. I mean, this country was designed to be a representative democracy, a Republican form of government, whereby people function through their representatives. The representatives can understand this kind of thing, and they can vote.